The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Ibrahim Kwatin
and Doreen Ampofu.
In the headlines, National Technical Committee on Oil and Gas at Ghana Standards Authority brainstorm on standards for country's oil. First Lady Lordina Mahama launches month-long activities for World AIDS Day tomorrow in Accra. Gunmen attack wedding convoy, killing more than 30 people, including groom in Borno State, Nigeria. Security on high alert in Egypt as ousted President Mohamed Morsi stands trial today. And health professionals in UK urge to treat female genital mutilation as child abuse. But first, the summary with Doreen Ampofu.
The Ghana Standards Authority has assured Ghanaians it is doing all it can to set desired standards to make the country's oil find a blessing. The chairman of the National Technical Committee on Oil and Gas at the authority, Dr. J.K.D. Annan, told Radio Ghana that more than 200 standards out of 1,000 have so far been worked on. The First Lady, Mrs. Lordina Mahama, will tomorrow launch a month-long program of activities in Accra ahead of this year's World AIDS Day. Ghana will, on Monday, December 2nd, mark this year's World AIDS Day in the Upper West Regional Capital, Wa. The event is aimed at reducing the rate of mother-to-child transmission. Gunmen in the Borno State of Nigeria have attacked a wedding convoy, killing more than 30. Reports say the groom was among the victims. The fate of the bride and her family members is unknown. No group has so far claimed responsibility. The Islamist militant group Boko Haram has carried out frequent attacks in the area, despite a state of emergency declared in northeast Nigeria in May. And a court in the Egyptian capital Cairo will today begin the trial of former President Mohamed Morsi and 14 top officials of his government. They have been charged with inciting the killing of protesters during clashes outside the presidential palace last December. Reports say security services are on high alert as the supporters of the former president called for major protests.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news now in detail. The chairman of the National Technical Committee on Oil and Gas at the Ghana Standards Authority, Dr. J.K.D. Annan, has assured Ghanaians that the committee is doing all it can to set desired standards to make the oil find a blessing and not a curse. Speaking to Radio Ghana on where the committee has read in his work, Dr. Annan said more than 200 standards out of 1,000 has been worked on. He spoke with George Anka.
We began our work in January 2010, specifically to work on international standards, which will be very helpful for this country in our quest to make sure that the oil discovery that has been found here does not become a curse, but a blessing.
So where have we reached now? Are you satisfied with the pace of work and the kind of input you are making?
What happened is that it took quite some time, about 6 months, before even the whole of expert put together. So our first meeting was purely to elect a chairman. And of course, I became the chairman, but then there was a co-chairman. What we wanted to do was to establish certain key criteria that would be the basis for our subsequent meeting. Now, the consensus of the meeting was that because at that time the FPSO was under construction.
When you talk of FPSO, what are you talking about?
The barge, the floating.
Now that you are at the helm of affairs, looking at the technical committee you are heading now, or you are chairing now, how are you tailoring the process so that we have a very good standard that we can observe to make the oil find a blessing, as you said?
What we did was then we had to look at whatever specific requests which had been brought. And it had to do with some standards pertaining to construction. But as time goes on, I'll probably let you know the specifics.
I am happy that we have a serious person such as you on that board. We, as an emerging economy, saying that we also need our strong input based on our own technical know-how so that we can formulate our own standards, which will be based on the international one and acceptable to everybody. Is it not possible that we can do that?
No, that's precisely what we are saying. And in fact, even when you give me all the accolades, I must tell you, or let me confess that, you know, it's not only me. you know, we have a very strong, you know, team. The backup of, let's say, the secretariat, which is at the Ghana Standards Authority. But then we are trying now to expand because they have the technical backup.
What assurance are you giving us in the shortest possible time? When are you going to be ready with standards for this technical sector?
Our committee initially managed to get a few standards ready. Within the course of this discussion, I'll be able to give you certain feedback.
That was the chairman of the National Technical Committee on Oil and Gas, Dr. J.K.D. Annan, in that interview with George Ankara.
A presidential staffer, Dr. Kesawhite, says government is sensitive to the plight of Ghanaians and will do anything that will not serve their interests. Speaking on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point on the proposed strike by organized labor, Dr. White said government is overburdened by the rising wage bill, hence the inability to absorb any subsidy. Dr. Professor White asked organized labor to rescind its decision to embark on strike since the action will not serve the interests of the workers themselves. The Director of Public Relations and External Affairs of the PURC, Nanaya Jantua, explained that the PURC did not deem it prudent to increase utility prices in the recent past due to inefficiencies as a result of the power crisis that hit the country. The PURC, she noted, has the discretion of increasing utility prices considering the level of efficiency of the utility provided. She added that the PURC has the duty to create the enabling environment for investors. Nanaya Jantua said utility tariffs in Ghana is lower than that of its neighbors. The General Secretary of the Ghana Federation of Labour, Ibrahim Kumsen, said though the Federation is not in support of the hikes of utility prices, it has the duty to protect its workers against possible layoff by their employers. He said the Federation is dismayed about the way the TUC wants to use strike to force government to reduce their tariffs.
Ghana will on Monday, December 2nd, 2013, mark this year's World Aids Day at WA in the Upper West Region. In view of that, the First Lady, Mrs. Lordina Mahama, chairperson and member of the UNAIDS Global Response for the Elimination of Mother-to-Child Transmission of HIV, will tomorrow launch the event in Accra to commence a month-long program of activities leading to World AIDS Day on the 1st of December. This is contained in a statement from the Office of the President. We bring you details.
A statement from the office said the day should remind Ghanaians of the devastating impact of HIV and AIDS on the nation to enable people to reflect on the commitment to a sustained national HIV and AIDS response. The statement said the commemorative national day about to be held on Monday, December 2nd at the Jubilee Park in WA will be addressed by President Mahama, who is also the chairman of the Ghana AIDS Commission. They said the national Durbar will be preceded by Islamic prayers on Friday, November 29th, and a non-denominational church service on Sunday, 1st December. Highlights of activities towards the World AIDS Day include the launch of the First Lady's advocacy campaign of mother-to-child transmission of HIV and keeping mothers alive, sensitization of Ghanaians to the benefits of HIV testing and counseling. Other activities are community engagement by heart-to-heart ambassadors, visits of heart-to-heart ambassadors to antenatal clinics in the Greater Accra region, sponsored health work in aid of people living with HIV and AIDS, and HIV orphans and talk shows on radio and TV across the country. The rest of the activities are HIV and AIDS education programs in various Ghanaian languages, targeting rural and urban populations, free testing for HIV and syphilis, and screening for breast and cervical cancers.
You heard details from the presidency on activities leading to the commemoration of World AIDS Day. The Vice Chancellor of the University of Education, Winneba, Professor Kwesia Sabriamiao, has appealed to the Ministry of Education to absorb the huge number of professionally trained graduate teachers in vacant classrooms in the rural areas. He said it is quite disturbing to see a large number of professionally trained teachers who remain unemployed, even though most of the classrooms at the basic level of education still lack qualified teachers. Professor Sabriamiao was addressing this year's matriculation ceremony at the Kumasi campus of the University of Education. Correspondent Thomas Nsueje filed this report.
The college pupils of the university alone admitted 2,632 fresh students out of the total of 9,057 applicants who were offered admission by the university to pursue various degree courses including agriculture, English, business and science and environment education. 273 students were also matriculated pursuing postgraduate education programs. The Vice Chancellor noted that though the University of Education Winneba remains the only university in Ghana that is totally committed to the training of teachers and educational administrators, financial commitment by government to help expand infrastructure and other demands and logistics to improve student intake is not enough. Graduates of the university, according to him, are specially trained to be adaptable to changing situations to remain relevant and functional in a dynamic world. Professor Asabri Amiel said the university continues to invest huge sums of its internally generated funds to improve facilities, to facilitate research endeavors, and to continue to enhance teaching and learning activities. It is therefore equally important for government also to support it, especially projects that are capital intensive, such as roads on campus. From Kumasi, Thomas Nsoje reporting.
Executive Director of the National Vocational Training Institute, NVTI, Stephen Besmakamponsa, says vocational training is becoming more complex and therefore needs qualified staff and requisite facilities to manage it. He said vocational training is important for the development and growth of the country since it provides job opportunities for the youth. Mr. Amponsa said this when he met managers, directors and heads of vocational institutions at Spiriwa near Cape Coast in the central region. The meeting was to inform them about a memorandum of understanding signed by the NVTI and the National Board for Professionals and Technical Examination, NAPTEX, to enable NVTI graduates and students to pursue polytechnic programs. Under the program, NVTI students who are about to complete their Certificate II program would have the opportunity to study English, mathematics, information and communication technology, as well as integrated science to prepare them for a higher national diploma program in polytechnics.
Ghana and other West African countries yesterday experienced the passing of a solar eclipse. The sunshine of the afternoon darkened into an evening-like atmosphere for several minutes. This is not the first time Ghana has witnessed the beautiful appearance of the eclipse. The most recent in the history of the country was on March 29, 2006. GTV gave a full coverage of the historic natural site, and a walk around town also saw people wearing their eclipse shades as they stood in groups around the streets and in their neighborhoods to behold the spectacle in the sky.
Meanwhile, Radio Ghana sampled the reaction of a cross-section of the public following the partial eclipse of the sun yesterday.
The Kumasi pupils of the university alone admitted 2,632 fresh students out of the total of 9.
You can see everything, how the things going on, how the eclipse is coming. You know that by all means it will happen. If that's the time reaches, you'll be okay. I'm sure that.
And you are telling, won't you close?
No, I'm not, because I'm sure that I can see like that. What will happen, I will see that it's true that it's eclipse.
They are coming to close. I haven't closed that. I can't close. But the weather is getting darker. That is where I will close. So that is it.
You wait until the...
Exactly.
And can you see your thing?
Yeah, exactly.
You can?
I can see. Because when it's getting darker, we just fly fast and go. You know, all this is from God. So human being cannot predict. It can be lesser, it can be higher. So that is it.
This is what I see. The shelter is coming. It's so somebody's already started. I mean, the weather is dark. And when it's not come, like, the water will not be like.
In that view, so the public expressing their delight after watching the partial eclipse of the sun.
The Women Empowerment Foundation International, WEFI, has inaugurated the second floor of the children's ward at the Kwalibu Teaching Hospital in Accra. The floor has been in a deplorable state for years before the intervention of the Christian organization to give it a facelift. The head of the Department of Child Health at Kwalibu, Professor Bamenla Guka, was grateful for the kind gesture and indicated that this will bring hope to the children at the ward. Here is a report by Samuel Bano and Abigail Bimu.
Mothers by nature are loving and caring. Seeing the situation of the children's ward at the Kolibu Teaching Hospital, the Women Empowerment Foundation International, WEFI, decided to adopt the ward for 5 years. The Christian organization used the opportunity to complete the refurbishment of the second floor to create a child-friendly environment. The foundation renovated the bathrooms, kitchen, and windows of the ward. It also provided the children with new bed sheets, washing machines, and a television set. The head of Department of Child Health, Professor Bamila Goka, stated that a new environment will help in the recovery process of the children. She also added that women can achieve anything they want if they are determined.
When anybody indicates that they want to adopt, we really take them through the list and let them see the implication of what they are undertaking. They looked at the list, they said, we are women, we will do it. And we know history testifies, even from the Bible, we have instances where women put their mind to do something, no matter how challenging it is. So far as they put their mind to do it, they are able to do it.
The regional director of the Department of Children Affairs under the Ministry of Gender, Children and Social Protection, Peter Achia, called on private organizations to take a clue from the gesture shown by WEFI to ease the pressure on government.
I see it as a great step forward. They've really uplifted the image of this particular ward, and for that matter, Kolibu Hospital. And I personally believe that this is something that all organizations should take a cue from, so that it wouldn't be government. My individuals and organizations should support such initiatives, because it's wonderful.
That was the regional director of the Department of Children's Affairs, ending a report by Samuel Bano and Abigail Bimu.
We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana, investigative radio at its best.
The Ghana Navy has lost one of its ratings during a patrol around the Jubilee oil fields. The seaman Emmanuel Assan drowned near the oil fields when gusty winds capsized the lifeboat carrying him and others during the patrol. Speaking to Radio Ghana, the public relations director of the Ghana Armed Forces, Colonel Mbawine Atintande, said investigations are underway. He stated that fishing villages from Elmina and Hafasni have been requested to assist in recovering the remains of the rating as the search continues. He spoke to Mary Atule.
The naval personnel, the ship sighted two fishing trawlers somewhere in the region of the Jubilee Oil Fields. As is required by our regional procedures, the ships were stopped and then he was dispatched from the Navy ship to go on board those two fishing vessels to inspect what was happening there. And if they were illegally operating, then they would arrest them. So three officers and then six the ratings and then the crew of the boat, that is two people, went together to those two vessels. They inspected the vessels, they noticed that everything was okay, so they left them. And then they were returning to the ship. When they got back to the ship, seven of the people went on board, and then there were five left. Then another three went, and then when it was left with the two, unfortunately there were strong winds that came around that time, and unfortunately the boat was capsized. Those people who were in the boat, all of them fell into the water. One of the things that we do is that we enable them and insist that they should wear life jackets wherever they go, and that was done. And the life jackets have an automatic procedure to inflate as soon as there is an emergency. Unfortunately, one person didn't have his life jacket automatically inflating, and that was what resulted in his loss.
Are you saying the boat wasn't faulty?
No, the boat didn't have a fault. Just a normal boat. There was no fault with the boat. Just that the winds come with water, and so the water flooded into the boat, and the boat capsized. So the boat doesn't have any problem. The life jackets were okay, except that that one particular life jacket was not able to automatically inflate so that the people can float. And once they were trying to do so, there are emergency procedures that are normally implemented. And when they tried to do so to inflate his jacket, unfortunately, he slipped through, and that was how he was lost.
So has the family of the deceased, that's the soldier, been informed?
Normally, that would be the first thing that we do before we even come out to the public domain to announce anything. So the family has been informed, and the Minister for Defense and the Military High Command expressed their deep condolences to the family. We will continue to search, and we have requested some fishermen along the area also to try to see how we can recover the remains of the sailor.
Kendall, is it the first time such an incident has happened?
Well, this is not the first time a rating or a naval personnel has lost his life. This is the first time along the Jubilee Fields area we have been able to lose somebody like that during patrols.
So what is next in terms of investigation?
Certainly, we have once the initiated investigation into exactly what happened was we would like to know many other things, including why that particular vest could not automatically inflate like all the rest. We normally would test them before we get in there. I would believe that it's just an accident, an unfortunate accident at that. So we have started investigation into what happened.
That was the public relations director of the Ghana Armed Forces, Colonel Imbawini Atintande.
The medical director of Abuto Health Services, Professor Edmond Dili, has called on the state to erect a monument in honor of the three urologists who died some 7 years ago in a motor accident. The three, Professor J.M. Korte, 82, Dr. Isaac Kufibenti, 64, and Dr. Benjamin Oseyafi, 34, all of the Kolebu Teaching Hospital, met the untimely death whilst returning from Sunyai on an outreach program in August 2005 and was subsequently given a state burial. Professor Dili said honoring them with a monument will serve as a motivation for many other people who are sacrificing for the nation.
Our seven urologists who died going for this accident, in fact, I think that by now we should have got some monuments for them, because it is to encourage some younger doctors to know that if they make sacrifices, the nation will recognize them. So I think it is also that because the roads are not good, you stand the chance of having accidents and you may even perish. I've had over 7 or 8 almost fatal accidents, including a plane crash trying to go to the rural areas to help. One of the major things I found out going to the rural is a state of accidents. Because of the roads, and then now you have armed robbery on the road, so people get a bit scared. So in such cases, the police have been very helpful. They try, when they meet some of us who are traveling to these rural areas, they try to escort us to the place. But as I say, I'm happy serving my nation in a very humble way, because I'm just giving back a little for the great things my nation has done for me.
That was Professor Edmond Dili on the need to honor the three urologists who died in a lorry accident in 2005.
Ghana has assured China of guaranteed protection of its citizens and their investments as long as they operate within the confines of the law. Answering questions and concerns for security of investments and safety of Chinese citizens in Ghana at an investment environment forum on the sidelines of the 6th Wood China International Forest Products Fair, Ghana's delegation emphasized that the country does not subscribe to unlawful expulsion of Chinese citizens. The director, Policy Planning, Research and Monitoring Bureau of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Sylvester Parker-Alote, said the Chinese are free to do business in Ghana as long as they operate within the culture and confines of the country's laws. He said there is no systematic evidence that Ghana is chasing away Chinese citizens. Mr. Parker-Alote said China must not allow recent infractions of the law by few Chinese residents in Ghana to mar the long-cherished relationship between the two countries. An economist with the Ministry of Trade and Industry, Dr. John Hawkins, has here said Ghana is a signatory to various international trade treaties which impose on her the obligation not to violate the rights of investors.
And in foreign news, gunmen in northeastern Nigeria have killed more than 30 people in an attack on a wedding convoy. It happened on a notoriously dangerous stretch of road between Bama and Banki in the Borno State, east of the regional capital Maiduguri. The groom was reportedly amongst the victims. The Islamist militant group Boko Haram has carried out frequent attacks in the area, despite a state of emergency declared in northeast Nigeria in May. Thousands of additional troops have been sent there to fight Boko Haram, which had been fighting to create an Islamic state since 2009. However, attacks on civilians have continued.
Egypt's ousted former president Mohamed Morsi is due to stand trial today, along with 14 other senior Muslim Brotherhood figures. They are charged with inciting the killing of protesters during clashes outside the presidential palace last December. Security services are on high alert after supporters of the former president called for major protests. Mr. Morsi was ousted by the military in July after protests against his rule. Although he won the presidency in a democratic election during his 13 months in power, Mr. Morsi fell out with key institutions. After he was ousted, a sit-in protest in Cairo by Mr. Morsi's supporters was violently broken up by the military, leading to the deaths of hundreds of people. The interim government has also cracked down on the Muslim Brotherhood, from which Mr. Morsi hails, banning the Islamist organization and arresting dozens of senior figures.
And U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has arrived in Saudi Arabia, the second stop on his tour of the Middle East. Mr. Kerry is expected to repair ties with a long-standing ally that has been frayed by conflict in Syria and the recent U.S. outreach to Iran. He first made an unscheduled stop in Egypt when he called to an end to violence and to move to full democracy. Mr. Kerry also said the U.S. is committed to working with Egypt's new rulers. Egypt is one of the issues that has caused tension between Saudi Arabia and the United States in recent months.
And nurses, midwives, and general practitioners in the United Kingdom have been asked to treat female genital mutilation, FGM, as child abuse. The recommendation is among nine in a document produced by several royal colleges and health visitors' representatives. It also says female patients who have had their sexual organs cut should be referred to the police and other services. Genital mutilation is said to have affected at least 66,000 women in the UK. The joint guidelines produced by the Royal Colleges of Midwives, Nursing, Obstetricians and Gynecologists say health professionals should identify girls at risk of FGM as early as possible.
An airplane has crashed in Bolivia's northern Amazon region, killing at least 8 of the 18 people on board. The pilot and the co-pilot survived but are in a serious condition. The turboprop plane caught fire as it landed in the remote town of Gibraltar near the border with Brazil. A spokesman for Bolivian airline Aerocon said the plane suffered technical problems as they were landing. We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana, investigative radio at its best.